Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, a candid conversation as we learn about types of dementias, such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, frontal temporal, and Lewy body, and the effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, overcome obstacles, and find positive outcomes. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Wow, what a great day today. I have invited a good friend on the show today, and he is a talented actor and dancer and musician. I want to give a little bio before I introduce him. So Charles Valentino, I lovingly call him Val, attended classes at the New York School of Ballet and the American Ballet Theater while he was a student at the High School of Performing Arts, and he danced with the Harkness Ballet. The work there was choreographed by Jeffrey Holder. He made his acting debut in The Me Nobody Knows, played Hud in the Australian production of Hair, and returned to the States for the national tour of the show. He had a hit single, I Was Born This Way, on, I hope I'm saying this right, Gaye Records, released by Motown. In Bill Turner's version of the Ziegfeld Follies, Valentino played the legendary Burt Williams, and he appeared on Comedy Tonight on NBC TV special. He was also the Scarecrow in the national touring company of The Wiz, as well as the 84 revival on Broadway with Stephanie Mills. His more recent work was with his close friend, Joni Mitchell, the coveted and amazing singer-songwriter. He is featured on her special, Painting with Words and Music, and he was also featured in her video, Come In From the Cold. He sang on Ladies' Man from the album Wild Things Run Fast and Yvette in English from the album Turbulent Indigo. He's a dance partner to the beautiful Angelica Houston, who writes in her book. The book is called Watch Me. He twirls me around as if I were a silk scarf. I never sat down unless he was dancing with his other favorite girl, Joni Mitchell. Welcome, Val, to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm so looking forward to this.
You are such a sweet and talented person, and I want to tell my listeners that I call Caregiver Nation how I actually met you. I met you when I was visiting my cousin Johnny in L.A.
And
Yeah.
And my brother from another mother.
That's right. And I had met Johnny in person for the first time. We'd talked on the phone, been Facebook friends and things like that. And I came out to visit him and brought him a photo album. And at that time, you were one of his roommates, and you were dancing in the back of his property with Angelica Houston that day.
Oh, my God. That is hysterical, of course. Uh-huh. Oh, geez.
And I said, who is that muscular, handsome fella?
Oh, that's so sweet of you.
How long were you in L.A., Val?
Well, I went out to L.A. and set the first time I went out to L.A. was for the Ziegfeld Follies, which was like 73.
Okay.
One of my 73, yeah. And then I came back out with The Wiz in 75.
Wow.
And toured and went back. So it's like an on and off. But in 79, I moved there. So I was living there for, oh, God, quite a while now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all over the place. And then I finally wound up at your cousin's. Like, great. But we're still, you know, that's where I stay now when I go out there. You know, it's like, you know, hey, I'm back, you guys.
Of course you do. And I love Johnny to pieces for introducing me to you. And by the way, I have a huge thanks to you because my cousin asked me, who would I like to meet? And I said, Diane Warren, the famous singer and songwriter. She's a songwriter. I don't know that she sings, but she writes wonderful music and has won multiple Grammy Awards. So what did he do? He called you up on the phone and said, call Diane and ask her if I can introduce her to Jill.
Oh my God, did I do that?
You did. That was so fun. Oh my gosh.
Oh my God, that is so funny, Jill. I don't remember. You know, people tell me things, I go, I did that? Really? Oh God.
Well, that's because you know anybody who's anybody in the entertainment world.
Oh God, that's so sweet of you.
You
it
really
hasn't been
do.
Easy, you know, being back now, you know, taking care of a mom, you know, but mm-hmm. I'm learning so much from doing it. You know?
Oh, I know you are. So let's get to that. One day, several years ago, I got a call from you, and you said, my mom has some memory loss, and I'm worried about her. And we talked
right.
for a little bit, and I gave you some strategies mm-hmm. and techniques to work with her. But,
right.
but let's talk a little bit about that day. You were worried about her, and what was going on that made you think that she had some memory loss?
Oh, well, she just definitely does. It was the repeating. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of stuff. But a lot of stuff happened before I came. Like, my sisters were dealing with a lot of stuff. They weren't really telling me, you know. And then when I got here and I saw for myself, I mean, she's in a much better place now because I sort of took over
mm-hmm.
and got her off a lot of the medications that they had her on that she had all the side effects from. So I got her off of all those, you know.
Right.
There's still some things, but I mean, you know, there's memory loss, and then at the same time, there are moments of clarity, you know.
Right.
And it's just, I don't try, there was someone sent me something about how to really handle someone that's in trouble like that, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you ever saw that. It's the dementia where they go, my eyes do see, my ears do hear. Do you know that one?
I don't, but I'm going to look it up.
My eyes do see, my ears do hear. I am still me. So let's be clear. My memory may fade. My walk may slow. I am me inside, so don't let me go.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't beautiful. That beautiful?
It's beautiful.
It really helps me, too, when I'm dealing with stuff, you know. And the other one is the Alzheimer's communication. Do you know that one?
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's a great one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Never argue.
That's
Instead
right.
of being never reason, and I've learned this on my own without even being like, okay, we're in this thin. I'm going to say the sky is blue, but you see it as red, so I'm not going to correct you. I'll just go, yeah, it is red, and everything
That's
is fine.
Exactly right. So do me a favor. Tell me,
yeah.
Tell me a little bit about your family and where you grew up.
Well, God, we're mixed with everything. Predominantly Creole and Native American. Irish, that's what, you know, Irish, on my mom's side,
mm-hmm.
it was Irish Creole and Native American, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's my mom's side. My dad's side was Trinidad. We don't really know that side of the family that much, you know, from
mm-hmm.
the island.
Right.
So basically it was my mom grew up running the streets of New York, you know, when I was a kid. I actually... Do you know that scene where the girls are screaming on the Ed Sullivan Show because the Beatles are there and they're all outside?
Sure.
I'm there. I was like 12 or 13. I'm in that crowd.
That's amazing.
Yep, screaming. It's just, you know, but that was my life growing up in New York, where it was free and you had the musicians and you had dancers and you had opera singers. And at that time, it was just, it was like boomtown as far as art was concerned, you know.
Right.
The theater was alive, and everything was just, you know. And my mom actually was the one. She, you know, my mom was a singer. She
okay.
still sings, you
right.
know. And so that's where I guess we picked it up from. But she's an amazing singer, and she would take us for these talent shows, you know. And of course.
I love
that. Why all sorts of singing lessons and dancing lessons, and I was like, okay, I get it. But yeah, so but it has been, Jill, it's been really actually wonderful. I can't imagine not doing this for my mom right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just blessed with my baby sister and I. You know, I had a sister that passed away. She was helping,
right?
But she passed, and so it left my older sister, my baby sister, and myself, because my brother's in Florida with his family, and he's got four daughters, and they're going through some stuff. So it left me with my older sister and my baby sister. My older sister had a stroke, so she's bedridden. Mm-hmm. So that left me. Now it's just my baby sister and me, and she works, and so I can't ask her. So predominantly it wind up just being me here. My mom has someone that comes in for a couple of hours, and then the rest of the day it's me. And then on weekends, my sister comes up, and that sort of gives me some freedom to get out, you know.
Oh, that's awesome.
And do some stuff. Yeah, but I just, I don't, I create, everything is fresh. I buy all of her food. I debone the chicken. I puree everything because so that she can actually eat real food, mm-hmm. you know, and what I learned, she was just in a facility a couple of weeks ago where we took her in. Her breathing was off, and they discovered she had clots.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
In her lungs. So they, but everything was okay. They're not moving. And then she went into a rehab center. Well, I'm very leery of rehab centers. So mm-hmm. I was there every morning and every night. I took her food that I made at the house because she, and when I got there, they were, oh, no, she doesn't eat the food. We can't feed her. I said, oh, yes, she can. She eats everything I ever bring her. She eats it all. I went in there one day. I got her out of the wheelchair. I said, get up. Let's go walking. And to show you how they're not paying attention, the aide at the place that was supposed to be watching her says to me, oh, you mean she can walk?
And oh, I went, my gosh. Wow.
Excuse me? You know what I mean? It's like you have to stay on. No one, I really believe that. I know it's hard mm-hmm. for family members sometimes, but no one can really take care of your family the way you, because mm-hmm. you know them. You know what they like. And that's what I've been learning about my mom. I look at her, certain things I know when she doesn't like it. I don't force it on her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When she asks for stuff, I give it to her. I get her up. I walk her. I don't give in to the fact that she's tired. Sometimes she says, oh, I'm so tired. I said, it's okay. You walk with me, and I'm walking just to make sure she's moving, you know.
Right.
So she doesn't get comfortable lying down. I went to L.A. in, was it last year I did it? Yeah, it was last year for Joni's. No, it was the year before. For Joni's birthday, and when I got back, my mom wouldn't get out of bed.
Mm.
She just wouldn't get out. And my sister and I said, well, she won't get out of bed. Of course, I got her right up and started her walking again. Because
she loves you, myself, and she'll do what you want her to do.
Yeah, well, we're not going this way. We got to get up. And you know, she loves it. Because once she starts walking, she feels she's got her independence, you know,
exactly.
So it makes her feel good.
Exactly.
And
so,
we have a...
Mm-hmm.
And
go ahead.
My mom's hallway here, I'm not lying, is like a block long from the front door to the front. So if she walks this hallway 3 and 4 times, that's like 2 blocks, you know?
Right.
And so I don't mind that. But, yeah, the memory loss, and I know when she gets that way. I used to get angry. Now I don't, you know,
mm-hmm.
when she can't remember things or when she says, no, it's this, and I know it's this. Even if I know it's not, I'll
right.
go, yeah, you're absolutely right.
That's
mom.
Exactly but, right. So let's paint a picture of your mom. Her name is Margarita Promponas.
Margarita.
Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Tell me about her. Paint a picture of her when she was not sick. What was she like when you were growing up? What was she like in her teen years and so on? Tell me about this beautiful woman.
She was, I mean, you could hear her laughing, like, from blocks. She had this laugh. Just, she, you know, everybody that needed help, she would bring into this. I mean, everybody. Mm-hmm. She would feed the world. She even cries for the world. She's crying for stuff that happens across the world. And I'm going, Ma, you don't know these people. Oh, it's just as that. She's so emotionally tied to everything. You know,
mm-hmm.
she's always been that creature, but very spiritual, always spiritual, you know. But that's sort of my grandmom raised, my great-grandmother raised my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Because my grandmom passed away when my mom was 12. So we never knew. The kids never knew our grandmother.
Okay.
But we were raised by our great-grandmother as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we got the same knowledge our grandmother got, that our mother got. So that's why my mom, when we were born, was so she was so young. She had my sister and I. I think I was 18, and my dad was in the service. He was in the Korean War at the time, and so she was, like, too young. So we sort of grew up together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
she,
you know, was always on the road touring, so we were in the South, actually. We were in a little town in Alabama. My mom was on the road in New York, and so my brother was born here in New York, mm-hmm. but all the, my three sisters and I were all from the South. So we came up when I was like 10. We were really young. So from 10 on, it was New York. But from 1 to 10, it was like, I grew up in two houses.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way I can look at it. On, with a hedge. You know what a hedge is? A huge hedge.
Oh, yeah.
And in between the hedge, there was this little opening where a little kid could slip through to the other side. And
okay.
on one side was my godparents.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a Victorian house. It was the biggest Christmas tree in the town they had. They had lawn furniture. It was sort of an old Packard and a Rolls they had. And they were very, I don't know what they were, Jill, to be honest, because I know they were not African-American, but I don't know what they were. It's the weirdest thing. But they were my godparents.
Uh-huh.
And they were the ones that taught me music, and I became a Methodist because of them, which upset my mom because she was a Baptist. So it was a whole thing there, you know. She went away and came back, and her kids were Methodist. So my great-grandmom's house was sort of a shack. Not a shack, but it wasn't like the Victorian-style godparents' house with the televisions and the, you know, all of that.
Right.
My great-grandmom, who raised, did not want gas or electric in her house. So there was no gas or electric. And I just remember my godparents having all the Christmas lights and the everything was just perfect. And even as a child at the age of 5, I knew exactly what I wanted and what I didn't want, you know. So I would slip through the hedge to go to see them. I mean, might rewrite a story about the hedge, you know. It was like this, it was like coming through the one side, let's say it was, do you remember Oliver, the movie Oliver?
Yes.
It was. Do you remember the scene when the Arthur Dodge and they're in the London part that's like sort of nasty and bumpy? Not that my great grandmom's house was like that. It wasn't. But it was like that difference. And then all of a sudden you see he's in this house, Oliver, and you hear, oh my God, this one, and you look outside and it's like it's pristine and the flower marts opening up. That's the way it was going through the hedge. You know, it's like, ooh. But my godmom's, I mean, my great-grandmom had this garden. And in the garden, there was snap beans, there were potatoes, there were little watermelons, there was a fig tree, there was a pecan tree. And I loved the fig tree because the fig branches you could bounce on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they wouldn't break. So I would sit on that tree for hours and make up songs. This is when I was like 5 or 6, to be honest. And my mom was always on the go, you know, touring. When she'd come down to see us, we were like, oh, it's great, Mom's here. And it's just, you know, stories like that, you know.
Yeah.
And
did your mom teach you to dance and sing?
Yeah, my mom was the first person I danced with when I was a kid. I remember it. And you know what it was? It was the twist.
Really?
It was the twist. Come on, baby, let's do that twist. And I remember twisting. And
right.
Yeah. And she still sings, Jill. She has an amazing voice, even right now. It's like she'll, you know, she'll sing something for you. It's just wonderful.
It must be hard for you that, you know, when she was such a shining star.
Yeah,
she was so bright. And, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, she was strength.
Had
yeah,
to put your sunglasses on because she was shining so bright. And,
yeah, but, you know, it's so funny because my great-grandmom, who saved me so many times from just disaster situations after she's been dead for years. This is what I'm talking about. Her spirit just has pulled me out of like 3 dire situations where I could have ended up not here. And
right.
Her voice always pulled me away. And she would say to me, you know, you're going to have to take care of your mom when you get older because, you know, she's like a big sister. You got to take care. And I just think of that all the time because here we are.
Right.
Here my mom, you know, with my baby sister.
Right.
And it's just, I love it. It's hard, but I don't mind it. It sort of gives me a joy to do it, you know. And it's really weird because I've had friends that, oh, my God, it's the hardest thing in the world. I couldn't do it. And I'm going, well, yeah, but I could not do it, you know.
I do know. I felt the same way about my mom, Val. And I think we've talked about that before, that it's just a labor of love, you know.
Yes. And it just makes me feel, and I know there are angry moments when she gets angry. I'll say, Mom, your son. And she'll look at me and say, I don't have any son. I don't have one son. I don't have any kids. And I just look at her and smile and I say, yes, you do, Mom, but it's okay. You know?
Right.
So, and then a minute later, she'll go, Val? And I go, yeah, Ma. Oh, nice to see you. Like nothing ever happened, you know?
Like you just showed up.
And the thing is, so many people have it, you know, so many people. It's not just, it's like every time I speak to a friend, they're like, well, you know, yeah, I'm back here. I'm taking care of my mom or my dad or my uncle or my girl. I'm going, what is happening right now? This is crazy. Was it all those TV dinners that we ate off of when we were younger, you know?
Right.
In the oven and heating them up, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think about that all the time.
I think about that too. Hey, I want to ask you a question. You know, you're a very public figure, and most recently you had you were on the cast of NCIS, right? So you are
no on the cast of the CSI.
CSI, I'm so sorry. Yeah,
CSI so, Vegas. That's all right.
But you know, so many people. You're a public figure. You know, even at Joni Mitchell's birthday party, the people you were on stage with, James Taylor, and on and on and on, right? But and you could keep this quiet. You don't have to share with the world. There's still a ridiculous stigma about having a close family member with Alzheimer's. But you and I don't see that. We don't feel that.
No.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Nah,
so
no.
What got you over the hump of being able to talk about your friends and be on my show today and just talk about what's going on with her?
Well, because it's real, you know, there's no hiding anymore. There's no hiding. You know, it used to be, you saw those old movies where they kept the aunt upstairs or they kept the granddad in the attic. They didn't let them out because they were senile, you know. They
were a little bit odd.
That's done. You know, it's over. It's the man behind the curtain has been exposed. Mm-hmm. You got to talk about it. You know, I think talking about it makes it easier, you know, because you're not going through it by yourself. You know, you realize, oh, God, there's so many people are going through what I'm going through now. Your Chris's mom, you know, I think about that, you know?
Right.
It's sort of beautiful. I just loved his mom. And you know, you could see, like, the time she would come to visit and the last time, just little things that, you know, she repeated. That's what Chris would remind me of. Oh, yeah, you could see it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But they're still in there, Jill.
Oh, I know. I know.
You know?
And for my
that's
listeners.
What have to
yeah, for my listeners, Johnny Chris is my cousin.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I call him Johnny, you call him Chris.
an amazing artist. And you know how long Chris and I have been connected, right?
Tell me.
Did you know the story?
No.
Oh, you don't know the story.
Tell me.
Here's a quickie. Your cousin and I.
Mm-hmm.
In 1973, I came off of the road doing Hair, you know, the show Hair.
Right.
And there was a friend of mine, Michael Roan, and he was in Hell's Kitchen, that's where he lived. And we went down and we would, you know, have parties because we were hair mates, right? And
right.
Michael had this cassette tape of Stevie Wonder's Music of My Mind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that was the tape that changed my whole thinking about music. Everything that everything was because of this tape.
Mm-hmm.
Well, years later, years later, we're talking 73. So move forward now to, let's say, 2000 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting around the table at, you know, we're playing cards as we always do, you know, at the house, playing our skip-ball games. And I started talking about this tape. And Chris looked at me and says, I don't believe this. I said, what? He goes, Val, that was my tape. I said, what? He said, yes, Michael Rohn was my roommate, and he moved out, and he took my tape of Stevie Wonder with him. Do you believe this? Is this crazy? That was, we're talking 1973, Jill.
Oh, my gosh.
And we would see each other off and on occasionally because of Joni. You know, we would run into each other at places, but we never, and it just shows you, you know, how long we had been connected.
Right.
And how that tape that he had changed my whole viewpoint of music. Nothing is coincidental, I don't think. Everything happens for a reason.
Well,
you know?
By the way, that was a great, great album.
Oh, wasn't it? Everything about that album was it was innovative, all those sounds, you know. Mary Wants to Be a Superwoman. I mean, and of course, Chris, he would have it, right?
Right.
He would be the one to have that. Of course he would. He's like, I was looking for my tape for years. I said, well, it was really good, let me tell you. It's great. It's wonderful. Yes, indeedy.
Well,
so, yeah.
I'm really sorry that your mom has had all these issues, and it brought you away from L.A. because you really enjoyed living there, and that was kind of a life. That was a life-changing event for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's like, you know, I mean, I still go back, and you know, all my friends are there, and depending on what happens here, it's so interesting, I guess, because I've done this so much with friends, like taking care of friends, like, you know, that mm-hmm. coming back here was so, it was easy for me because I don't feel like giving up L.A., you know what I mean?
Right.
I felt like, okay, I just feel like, okay. It used to be when you thought about the distance between California and New York, it's like, oh, now it's like, what, a couple of hours, you're there, you know, people fly back and forth on the weekends, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, so. It's not a big distance, so I don't feel that loss, mm-hmm. and I feel really still connected to my friends there because our connection is deep, you know? So just because I'm here doesn't disconnect us, which
right.
is great, you know? Like, I can call Chris, like, any drop of the hat or Shell or Joni, and it's like we just were hanging out yesterday, you know?
Right.
And that's a great feel, yeah. And they took care of me, you know? I mean, your cousins were just amazing, amazing human beings. And they are. I mean,
I know.
It's not just me, but you know how they take in people. You know what I mean? It's like,
I know.
Oh, they reminded me so much of my mom. That's why I always said, you know, I have great friends because my mom did the same thing. Oh, you need something? Come. They're like, Ma, who is this person? Why are you bringing them? They were out. They needed something. I just couldn't let them stay there. Yes, but you don't invite them in the house. You know?
Well, hey, Val, we're going to take a short break and hear a commercial from my sponsor, and we'll be right back, okay? Don't hang up.
Okay.
Living and working with Alzheimer's and other dementias can often be challenging. Summit Resilience Training provides education utilizing non-medical approaches for those who work with our friends affected by dementia. Believing families still need one-on-one assistance, we provide classes which help them understand the diseases affecting their loved ones, offering strategies and techniques for success with activities of daily living and working with confusing behaviors. We offer in-home assessments to clarify symptoms of dementia diseases and help families work together to find moments of joy while living with memory loss and impairment. Education programs instilling person-centered care philosophies are offered for professional caregivers working in communities and homes, which can be customized for their staff. Training is also available for first responders, such as law enforcement, fire, and EMT personnel. We are passionate that people with dementias, such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and others, are approached with compassion and understanding, and those who work with them have all the tools they need for success. Call us at Summit Resilience Training, 303-420-6988, to schedule a class or in-home assessment. Visit our website at summitresiliencetraining.com for more information.
Welcome back to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, a candid conversation as we learn about types of dementias, such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, frontal temporal, and Lewy body, and their effects on the people we love.
Okay, listeners, I'm back with Charles Valentino, a friend of mine. Hey, Val, thanks for being on the show today. It's so great.
This is so great. I can cut out a little.
Oh, that's okay. We're good. Yeah, we're good. So, so Val, I just wanted to know, what were some of the struggles that you had with your mom that maybe you could offer somebody some advice on how you got through it?
Okay. My mom, before I got here, she had some anger issues, that was before they were keeping. So she went in for some of that. And when I got here, she was still, she didn't want us to throw anything out, you know. You couldn't touch anything whatsoever. And we had to because it was becoming a hoarder's paradise in here, you know. So yeah. We finally got over that. And I think what it was is before I got here and I started cooking my mom three meals a day and making sure she had a breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Mm-hmm. She wasn't eating correctly. My older sister and her, my older sister who was in charge wasn't really doing what she should, and they were eating junk, like cakes and lots of soda, which is the worst thing in the world, you know?
Right.
And my mom was weak, and she was frail, and so we took her in. She had a UTI, you know, urinary tract infection. We took her in. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I just started to go, okay, I'm going to take over. I'm going to get all her food. And a lot of times, when she's angry, I can look in her eyes and, or she's out of sorts. She's not sure of where she is. I can look in her eyes and tell, and she's fighting. And I just keep saying in a soft voice, it's okay. It's me. It's okay. Mm-hmm. And suddenly she can see in her eyes it register, you know. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, she would go off and she would say, well, I and my sister, who the oldest one, would go, no, that's not it. That's not it, which is the worst thing you can do to someone
right.
like that.
Right. Never argue.
You know, if I've gone outside and it's raining cats and dogs, and you go, there's no such thing as cats and dogs. That's the wrong thing to say. Yes, there is. You know, it's like, it's raining cats and dogs. Yes, Ma, it's raining cats and dogs, but it's okay. We'll get a bucket and we'll collect them all, okay?
That's awesome. I love it.
You know, Jill, it's really like, if you think of how you treat a child, mm-hmm. and it's the same thing. It's exactly the same. They get angry about, you know, some things that you need to say, don't get angry, it's okay. They don't want to eat. My mom says, I don't want to eat that. That's horrible. So I wait 5 minutes and go, Mom, you ready to eat something? Like I've never asked her before. She goes, yeah, I'm ready to eat. So it's just a matter of paying attention to them, noticing their eyes, the way they lips. When my mom gets a little uncomfortable, I can tell just by the in her face, you know, and I'll go, okay, it's bothering you. Mm-hmm. And she'll go, how do you know something's bothering me? Like, well, you know, I know. You can't hide it. You know, she's one of those people like me, like I can't hide my emotions, you know, they just
right.
don't. You know, it's like, I can't lie. That's probably why I don't think I make a really great actor, because you have to be such a great lion with me. Unless I'm playing a character, unless I'm doing something like a scarecrow, you know what I mean? Where
right.
you poke me out, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah, that's it. But yeah, paying attention is really important. Noticing when you feed them certain things, the things that they really, really like, or, you know, like I'll take a chicken, I'll debone it, and I'll blend it with cream of chicken soup to give her a gravy feel to it, you know, with mashed potatoes.
Right.
I'll take all fresh vegetables, broccoli, cauliflower, and then I'll puree it down to puree, and I'll give her that, you know, and things like that. And just
just paying attention to her. When she gets upset, go, okay, she's upset. She'll look at me. You can tell by the look. I don't know. I'm sure you could, too. When someone recognizes you and when they don't, right. And when she looks at me with that, who are you look, I'll go, Ma, it's me. It's Val. And she'll go, oh, yeah, I didn't know for a moment. And, I know, but it's that. It's just paying attention, you know?
Exactly. And I have a question for you. So do you think do you think she feeds off of your emotions? Like if you're happy, she's happy?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's because you're so connected to your parents, more so than we think. You know what I mean?
Right.
The umbilical cord never really gets cut, you know? And I think if you really, like I said, I don't know if lucky or to not have a spouse or children that's what my brother's situation is. You know, he's got four daughters. His wife is having some health problems, so he can't get here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so it's my duty. That's what I'm here to do. I don't have kids. I don't have a spouse. So the universe, that's what it did, you know?
Right.
It gave me my mom to take care of. And I can't complain about that. You know what I mean?
And how is Margarita doing today? Is she getting in the late stages?
No, she's fine. She was up earlier. She's sleeping now. Mm-hmm. She watches television with us, you know, comments about everything, you know. There's certain things like to make her laugh. There's a couple of things. I put on Seinfeld. She loves Seinfeld.
Me too.
That makes her laugh. Yeah, no, it's great. And it's strange, she loves South Park, you know. So those are two to go. And I said, okay, that's good. I don't mind that. I can watch that with you.
Oh, that's so funny. Go ahead.
Yeah. Were you going to ask me something?
Yeah, I was. I wanted to know, how do you take care of yourself? I mean, you had a big, full life. You still do. I see the pictures you post on Facebook with all your friends. And but how do you take care of yourself so you don't lose yourself as a caregiver? You know, so often the statistics are very, very high that caregivers get sick and can't take care of themselves.
Well, you know, I have problems. You know, I've got they discovered I have lupus. I have rheumatoid arthritis now. The lupus is in my skin, which I never knew. I didn't know what was happening in LA. But, you know, that was going to happen anyway, whether I was here or not. So I don't let the illness, like, I know how to take care of me as well. I think that's what it is, you know. And taking care of her in a way is taking care of me.
Right.
You know,
right.
There are certain things, like there are times I don't get enough sleep, you know, but I make up for it. You know, I'm going to my sister gets her sleep. I've been really lucky that way. If something's bothering me, I'm going through treatments now. I'm on a medication that I'm not used to being on medication. And this is one I have to take twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be on it for a while. It's prequel.
Okay.
But I go to the gym every day because when my mom's aide gets here in the morning, that's when I get out and go to the gym. So I'm actually at the gym every day.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, that keeps me, you know, you have to get out and do something. If I didn't have that, I don't think I'd be able to do it. But the fact that I can get out and get some air and work myself, you know, and conversate with other people. Yeah, come back here. It's cool, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm fine.
Do you dance?
So, yeah.
Can you dance with your rheumatoid arthritis? Can you dance with your rheumatoid arthritis?
Oh, yeah. It's really weird because I don't know how long I've had it. I don't know if my hips went bad because of the rheumatoid or, you know, I was thinking dancing all those years caused my hip to go bad, you know, but... Mm-hmm. Now I'm looking at, wow, maybe it's something else. You know, you never know, Jill. You know, I just did my 23andMe. You know what that is, the 23andMe?
Yeah.
So I just did that, you know, trying to find out health stuff. You know, they discovered that I got a lot of Sub-Saharan African.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm 12.9% European, which is really, oh, I don't know where it is. And then there's a Eastern Chinese. So, you know, I'm all over the place DNA-wise, you know. So
you I'm need going, to be on
and some
every...
of it is really,
yeah.
They sent me a thing the other day that they had connected my DNA to Ramses the Third.
Get out of here.
Isn't that amazing? So my DNA dates back. Okay, my DNA dates back to Ramses the Third. And
wow.
So I was reading up on him and going, oh, but then you realize he had 30 sons. So what are you going to do? Of course, somebody.
You need to be on
30 sons.
Yeah.
Oh.
You need to be on Finding Your Roots with Henry Louis Gates. I'm going to nominate you.
Oh, my God. I know. I've seen that show. It's been so interesting, isn't it?
I love it.
Jesus. Oh, my. But the thing is, and then, you know, it breaks it up. So it shows you the stuff. And then it breaks the European to show you how much Great Britain and it's split between Irish. And I know that's my mom. That's my great-grandfather, you
mm-hmm.
know, because I remember him.
Right.
And that's... the Irish came over in Louisiana, you know, that makes sense. And he hooked up with my great-grandmom, who's Creole, and, you know. And he, so it's all that Louisiana stuff, you know,
right.
boiling over in my DNA.
I love
oh,
it. Hey, I want to ask you a question, and you don't have
uh-huh.
to get deep into it, and if it's something you can't talk about, it's okay. But you've mentioned
uh-huh.
a couple times how close you are with Joni Mitchell, and she's so beloved,
yeah.
writing
oh,
hundreds and hundreds of songs. And how's she doing today? Is she okay?
Yeah, she's so amazing. You know this woman, you think about, you know, there was a couple of times, like there was one time she had something with the ovaries, and then she recovered. And then there was a dengue fever she had, and she recovered. She's one of those phoenix, you know, that goes. And I kept saying the whole time that she was down, I said, you know, she's going to come back. God knows what she's going to give us when she comes back, you know.
Right.
Because her mind, even Dolly Parton said to her one day, girl, if I thought as much as you did with my brain, I'd go crazy. And that's what Dolly actually said to her. Because that woman is a beacon. I'm not just saying it, but Jesus, if you listen to her lyrics, it was almost prophesizing.
I know.
You know?
I know.
Hey, Paradise, put up a parking lot. You know,
right.
Come on, you know.
How long have you it's known God? Her?
Ah, God. We met in 1978.
And you've remained best of friends all these years.
Best of friends. Did you know how we met? Did you ever tell
I
you?
I don't.
Tell that story?
No.
We were at there was a dance partner of mine who was trying to get into acting. She had, you know, done a couple of things. Her name was Angelica Houston, and she was trying to get into acting. And we were, you know, she was my dancing partner. And we were at this party, and Jack Nicholson and her were the item at the time. You know, they were the Hollywood couple.
Uh-huh.
Jack was leaving this party, this Tahitian party, and Angelica and I had stopped the dance floor. Literally, we had stopped. People were, there was a circle around us, you know, clapping because I had her up in the air, and I was spinning her, and I was dipping her, and then she runs off. And I'm in the middle of this circle, like, I need a dance part. And it was like a movie. The whole room was blurry. You couldn't see anybody's face except for this one blonde sitting under a light. And she was the only thing that wasn't blurry. Everybody else was blurry except her. That's all I saw. So I ran over and I grabbed her and I said, let's dance. And we pulled her up and we started dancing. And we've never let go.
Oh, that's sweet. You know, she's so,
and
she's
said
so beloved.
That,
go ahead.
She says to me, well, not to me, she was on VH1 and she was talking about our relationship, our friendship. Which is always above, you know, it never got, our friendship has always been up there in the clouds, you know, that's how we see each other.
Uh-huh.
And she said,
when I did Coming from the Cold, the video Coming from the Cold with her.
Right.
She said, and I got the call for on Valentine's Day to be in the video with her. Mm-hmm. They called and said, she said, Val, would you mind, listen to this, would you mind being in a video with me? Would I mind being in a video with Joni Mitchell? Are you kidding me? You know, in my head, I'm going, no, of course not. She goes, yeah, this will. So it was Coming from the Cold. It was just she and I in the video, and we shot it at the I can't think of his name. He's a good looking guy. Errol Flynn's estate.
Okay.
We shot it at the Errol Flynn estate. And she said yes, because she goes, get Val to be in this video with me. Because many years ago, when Val and I met, I had just gotten dumped. And I was in a really dark place. And Val pulled me out of that dark place.
Oh, that's sweet. And you're still doing it.
I didn't know that then. Now, here's the kicker. The company that was shooting the video, mm-hmm. The guy started swearing, going, what an idiot. What a freaking, I won't say what he said, but I'll say, what a freaking idiot. What an idiot. And Joni's like, oh, my God. He was the one who had dumped her several years before and was shooting the video Coming from the Cold. It was his company shooting the video, and he was the one that had dumped her.
Oh, how ironic. That's ironic.
Well, this is what I mean. You see, but our lives is like that. And that's one thing Joni believes in, which I totally do, the magic in life that people miss, that so many people miss.
Right.
You know? There's so much magic happening all the time, but we're getting pulled away. We're getting pulled off our, and this is me, maybe I'm just old school, maybe, you know, mm-hmm. next month I'll be 67, you know, so maybe it's that, I don't know. But when we got so much distraction now with the technology, kids don't even get out and play with each other anymore.
Right.
Because they're busy on their computers.
Right.
When parents want to stop the madness in the house, they'll give the kids a device to go on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not using our God-given functions, you know, the brain. If you don't use that muscle, it'll go dormant.
That is so true.
We have to keep using that. And I think even caregiving is one of those. You have to be compassionate. You have to be caring. It teaches you patience, for sure, you know,
yes.
Nothing else, you know.
That is so true.
I keep thinking, Jesus, when we were sick, there was nothing that this lady wouldn't do that would get us better,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. And now it's
nothing.
Your turn to do that for her, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, so that's what I do. I mean, she's on, I make sure that she's not on as much medication. She's on Eliquis now because of the clots, but that's basically it. Everything else is vitamins, water, you know, that's all I'm doing.
I'm glad, because I've said many times on my show that I think that we mm-hmm. should stay away from the Exelon and the Namenda and the Aricept mm-hmm. because they actually mm-hmm. can make the person worse if they've been on them several years.
Yeah.
Just deal with the
yeah.
with the person, with their life, their preferences, mm-hmm. and you'll mm-hmm. be much more successful, right?
Yeah, yes. And music. I can't tell you what music does for my mom.
Oh,
when
yeah.
I put on... There's a couple of things she loves. She loves Shine by Joni. She loves anything Aretha sings, you know.
Right.
And she loves Streisand. She loves these voices. It's really interesting, the voices she likes. She likes Donna Ross's voice, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the old guys, like Tony Bennett, she likes, you know, stuff like that. And so
right.
I play that stuff for her. I make playlists for her. You know, with all the stuff that she likes from my era, too. I'll play those songs. I'll play Billie Holiday. I'll play Chet Baker for her. These are people
yeah.
that, you know, and that helps a great deal. She'll sing the songs. Even if she can't remember, she'll sing those lyrics. You can't remember who I am, but you know that lyric, so that's good, you know? It's just, yeah.
And dance to it, too, right?
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, she's up and moving, I tell you. I have a couple of videos. She's didn't you? Yeah, she's threatened. And that's the secret, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if I showed you, or you probably saw it on my phone. There's a quote. I don't know I think it's Albert Einstein. Did you see that from Albert? It says, do not grow old no matter how long you live.
Oh, I love that.
Never cease to stand like curious children before the great mystery into which we were born. Right. Isn't that great?
Oh, it's beautiful. Beautiful.
Albert Einstein.
Well, he was a genius.
Yes, he was.
So
funny you said it. There was a saying, you know who George Balanchine was, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have a saying that, it's an old saying that, I forgot who said it, was someone really great too. And he said, most choreographers have two steps. George Balanchine has three. He's a genius.
So, Val, are we going to see you acting on anything or singing on anything
in
the future?
Once we figure out, you know, and get my mom really stabled and everything, and of course, that's my life. That's why when people say retire, I go, retire from what? I don't understand that word, retire, you know?
Right.
I don't. It's like, that's foreign to me. It's the same as when I was in pain for 10 years, and everybody kept going, get a disabled sign. You can put it in your car. You can park. I said, I'm not putting a disabled sign in my car. And they said, yeah, but your hips are. I said, yeah, but I'm not disabled. I just don't want that. I don't want to look at that every day and have that tell me, ooh, you're disabled, you know? And
right.
I did. And I'm up and you know, I mean, I had no money and I got both of my hips done, you know?
Yeah. Can you still dance?
Oh, hello. Yeah. Still dance.
I love
it. So funny. I'm talking to you and I'm looking at these photos and all of a sudden there's a video of Johnny in the kitchen.
Oh, how funny.
In his kitchen.
That's funny.
I tell you, they're my family. They're my West Coast family for sure. Joni and I were so close. You know, her parents and I were close, you know, with all of us, which is great. Mm-hmm. You know, we actually spent a lot of time with her mom and dad and actually spent some time in the house that she grew up in, seeing some of the clothes that she had made when she was in school. You know, she sewed her own clothes.
Wow.
Her mom
cool.
still had them hanging in the closet.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. This is great. This is some great stuff. But yeah, so mom is doing good. I just say to everyone, just pay attention to them. Just don't be there. You have to watch them and sit in. You have to listen, not with just your ears, but with your soul,
right.
with their concern.
Right.
You almost have to learn a new language, because when she speaks, sometimes she'll say things that are not making sense. So you have to figure out in your head, okay, what does this mean? She's talking about something. So she said, I gotta get my clothes. And I go, Mom, do you need to go to the bathroom? And she go, yeah, how did you know? It's just, you have to almost be a step ahead of them, you know?
Exactly.
And trying to figure out what you need.
Exactly.
Huh?
And I think it's a synergy of the heart. When she looks at you, you learn her unmet needs and you figure them out. That's what we do.
It.
You know, when you love somebody.
That's so true.
Yeah.
That's so true. I'm going to tell you a story about my mom. My sister Wilhelmina, the one that passed on.
Mm-hmm.
My sister Wilhelmina, when she was, let's say, 12 years old, was very ill. And my mom took her to this hospital, St. Luke's.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, no, she's fine. You know, there's nothing the matter with a little cold. Just take her home. My mom brought her home. My sister said to my mom, I see your mother. She's standing outside the window. And my mother says, you're seeing my mother? And my sister said, yeah, I'm seeing grandma. My mom got dressed, put her clothes on,
took her to a different hospital, to Bellevue. They discovered she had double pneumonia and German measles. She was on her way out.
Wow.
But the fact that she had told my mom she saw her mother, my grandmother, outside the window, my mom was like, oh, no, no, no. You should not be seeing my mother outside your window when you didn't know my mom. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that prompted her. That's as far as, like, that's a mother listening to her child. But I'm just saying, you know, children should listen to them when they get older, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see? I posted it. I don't know if you saw it. There's a little cartoon drawing. Did you get that? Did I show you that?
You did. I did, yeah.
Where the parents are carrying the little baby out.
Yes, yes.
And the next picture is the grown up carrying the two. Isn't that's it?
That's what it is.
That's
it.
You know, everything, it always goes around. Everything new, everything old is coming around again new.
That's true.
It's a good thing. Well, I hope I've been sort of a help today.
You have been an enormous help. Thank you so much. Some of the things that you talked about, many families have gone through, and it's just, again, I just appreciate that you've been in the limelight for many years, and you're a public figure. People know who you are, and you're willing to talk about this out loud, and I love you so much for that. I love you anyway, but I love you so much for that. Just thank you, because I feel the same way. I've made a big issue of my mom's story, and it's her legacy. You know, and
you sent me a lot of material, a lot of help too. That's it, you know.
Yeah,
that's what it is. And I think instead of you can't think dropping them off at a rehab facility and it's going to do it. You have to go and visit them. You just can't drop them off. They need to see your face. They need to know that they're not there permanently. You know what I mean?
Oh, from exactly.
You don't want them to think that. So you have to stay connected.
Your mom is so blessed to have you and your family to take care of her, and it's just amazing.
I feel reversed. I feel we're so blessed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because, of course.
You know,
that,
you know, and it's so, when you think about it, I said, you know, it's so funny. Mom had the strongest gene because you can see her in all of her kids, you know,
right.
Which is great. I see her and look at my dad's picture and I go, who is this guy?
Right.
I don't know him. And look at mom, and I go, oh, yeah, I know who she is, you know?
Exactly. Well, you are a good son, Val, and I appreciate you being on the show today. I know my Caregiver Nation and my friends with diagnosis are going to appreciate a lot of the things that you shared today, and you're just wonderful, my friend. I adore you.
Thank you, and love you. Love you big time. We have to get together and have a powwow now.
We have got to do that. I'll come to New York and visit you.
You know, I did not tell you that. You know, my mom is she's really big in her Native American heritage. You know, she leads the seniors at the powwow. That's what she used to do. She used to make beads. She used to do all the work, you know, all that stuff. And now she does it. So. But we're going to keep everything because there are barrels of beads around here. So. We're going to be making beaded this and beads that.
I love it, and doing it all to music, right?
Yes, absolutely. Listen, love you deeply, deeply, and my love to all your listeners as well.
Thank you so much, Val. I really appreciate having my friend Charles Valentino, who I know as Val, on the show today. I hope you all enjoyed his wonderful personality and crazy antics and his love for his mom, Margarita. And we wish them well. And it just goes to show that, you know, no matter how big of a star you are or if you're in the smallest corner of the earth, this disease of Alzheimer's finds you. And so I'm grateful to Val and his family for sharing their story today. We'll be back next week with Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz with more resources for you. And until then, take care, friends.
You've been listening to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz. To learn more about her resources, services, classes, or to book speaking engagements, visit Jill's website at summitresiliencetraining.com. A new podcast drops every Tuesday, so join us as we learn more about dementias, resilience, and overcoming obstacles to find a positive outcome. Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz can be found on your favorite podcast provider. Please subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. Musical and technical support provided by Brian Hunter. See you next week.